Good morning to you all, and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting us for the first time today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to thank you for worshiping with us today. All are invited to participate in our second worship service today at Pacific Hills Manor at 2 o'clock this afternoon, and that service will be led by our brother Russell Goodman. At the 4 p.m. discipleship class this afternoon, Pastor Otero will continue teaching the use of the electronic concordance in finding and understanding the original languages to further enhance our Bible study. At the 5 p.m. service this afternoon, Pastor Otero will continue teaching the series on Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Today he will show the Lord Jesus as the lawgiver in the book of Judges. Next Sunday, February 24th, we will have our love banquet at 5:30 p.m. If you haven't yet reserved your place, please contact Raquel Otero or Mary Tomlinson so that the restaurant can make preparations to accommodate all that will attend. Our scripture reading for this month, printed in your bulletin, is from Psalm 70, verse 4. It reads, "Let all those who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified." Let us begin our worship now with the singing of hymn number 27, "I Sing the Mighty Power of God." Turn now to hymn number 450, "Isn't the Love of Jesus Something Wonderful?"
Brought it from the realms of glory.
please stand now as we sing hymn number 452, Wonderful, Wonderful Jesus.
Just before doing that, I want to report to you that Brother Wayne and myself put our brother Paul Ortiz on the plane, and they went to Los Angeles, and from Los Angeles to Miami, and Miami to Puerto Rico. And we got on Wednesday a call from Brother Paul that everything went well. And I want to announce this to the hundreds and thousands of people who are listening over the internet and over the radio, because I get calls even in my home to find out how is Paul Ortiz. And so not only I'm glad that they are questioned, but I'm glad that they are listening and they are interested in our people. And we should pray that God's comfort and the new direction for his life be proper. I try to discourage my brother to go because of selfishness. I guess he was a great companion. But I will never stop anybody to do what you want to do, because what you want to do is God's will. And so therefore, I'm glad. And he told me, so already I have an extra room if you want to. You come with your wife. I'm only 1 mile from the beach. So I said, knowing that Raquel and I like water, he was very happy. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come with great joy in thy presence today because we gather together as the body of believers. Yes, we are imperfect. Yes, we have not yet change because we battle within our heart to do thy will and then to be sure that what we do and what we say is exactly what you want us to do. I'm aware of God. This is a house with people, and in the radio there are thousands, and in the internet and in the tape ministry and in the CD ministry, and Father, thousands of people listening. Each one is different. As a husband and wife is different. But Father, you are the same. And you can zero in into our life and write your law into our heart and save us from the wrath to come. And this is our interest in our church, that we proclaim thy love so well that people may be turned to you, and in your mercy and grace, you will rescue them from eternal damnation. Also, Father, our interest is in building up the body of believers. Clearly, you said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, that you have chosen some men to be teachers, to be pastors, in order to build up the body of Christ until they come into the image of Jesus himself. And when I look into those verses of God, I tremble. Because it is my job to show you so clearly to your people that they will love to imitate you and walk with you. So I pray for me now that you will help my lips and my heart to show your love today in such a way that people will love you with passion because of your love for them. Father, we do as a church body have difficulty sometimes in some of the people's life with sickness, and we pray for Ron Nichols, who we know his body is covered with cancer, and he is still alive. Father, we thought that 2 weeks ago he will depart into thy presence, but he's still alive, and we pray for comfort in this very difficult moment. We have a friend in the city of Brooklyn in New York, Raymond Jacobson, a great friend of the church, and we pray for him. He too, his body is covered with cancer, and he is in the hospital, and we pray that your comfort and your hand of mercy be upon his life. Lord, we have some of the families, people sick, my daughter Miriam with flu, Dana Noriel, the two little children. Lord, we pray that you strengthen them, even wherever they are now in their homes. And as we mentioned for our brother Ortiz Sr., we pray that in thee he may find expansion of his life and the use of you in Puerto Rico, as he feels this is his final destination before going into thy presence. If this is so, Father, let us rejoice together. I miss my friend. But Father, I'm glad that he's doing your will. Thank you for taking care of him during the trip. Thank you because he was afraid. But Father, how precious you are that you take us by your hand. And when we do your will, nothing will stop us except joy. Now, Father, we pray that as we project this service, the heart of the people be touched by thy wonders of thy love. We talk about love and life, and we marry in love, and we do things in love, and we have no idea whatsoever of what really love is until we know your love. And so help us to understand more and more who you are, and how wonderful you love us, And then, Father, help us to apply that to our lives so that we can love those who are around us with the same passion and with the same motivation. I know. If we yield our life to you, you produce that kind of love in us. Lord, thank you for providing for us in the ministry. Thank you that every week we receive from your people an offering so that we can carry on the ministry here at Bethel and there in the radio and in the tape and in the CD and so many things that we do. Your people are willing and they are givers. And as a pastor, I'm so proud that we have a church that loves you with all their heart. Thank you for the offering. Thank you for the giving. May Jesus Christ be glorified today. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, please. My friends, this is Pastor Otero speaking to you at the moment of the offertory. As the people of God are giving their offering for the ministry, I want to send greetings to you because we love you and because you are familiar with us as we broadcast the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you listen to us Sunday after Sunday, we want to express our deepest love to you. Now, if it's a prayer that we need to be aware of, that you are in need of, we love to receive it. Our phone number is 408-778-2595. And if it's a super emergency, 408-390-0998. That's my cellular phone, and will reach to me whatever time and whatever place I'm walking with. So please be sure you're in touch with us because we love to help you. We love to offer all our help, all our hand in the name of God and show you the great peace of God and the great love of God and the compassion of a mighty God. Life is tough enough, you know. We need to glue together in the love of God. Well, may God bless us as we look to the service now, and let's walk into the building and see the service in progress.
Call out.
Thank you, choir. Will you please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 31, verses 1 through 7. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 463. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Jeremiah chapter 31, starting with verse 1. At the same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Again I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant, and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, and say, O Lord, save thy people, the remnant of Israel. Blessed is the word of God. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for your gracious mercy which you have shown us, that we may come before you in Jesus' name. We thank you for your loving kindness that had drawn us to Christ. We thank you for regenerating us, for having given us the gift of faith, and for justifying us. We thank you, Father, for every temporal blessing and for every spiritual blessing in Christ. We are grateful that you have given us understanding to know that there is nothing that we haven't received from your hand. We pray for greater understanding that we may continue to learn more about you, and that we would grow in the desire to do your will. As your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, comes to expose your word, we ask that you would bless him and guide him, that he may deliver the message of your love with clarity and give us ears to hear with understanding. We pray for anyone who may not know you and hears the word preached here or on the radio or the internet, that you would draw that person to the Lord Jesus Christ to know the joy of your salvation. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Last January, we talked about faith's greatest enemy. And now, in the month of February, I think it's proper to talk about love. Last Sunday, we talked about the love of God as Paul mentioned his love in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. And we took a long view of what love really is. And for this Sunday and the coming Sunday, I'm going to pick one of those verses that we look upon and blow that verse out. And we can do that over and over for days in and days out, because the word of God is rich and the love of God is extremely abundant. Let's look today to Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3. I want to talk to you today about the boundless love of God. The boundless love of God. And Jeremiah, in chapter 31 And in verse 3, page 463, if you are using the Bible that is there in the pew, God said to Jeremiah these words, "The Lord had appeared of old unto me, saying, Yah, I have loved thee," and thee is Israel, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love." I want to zero in on one of these particular scriptures that express the love of God, and we talked last Sunday. And so today we will see the boundless love of God. What is it? How can we have an idea of what is the boundless love of God when we are so finite? You hear and you see on the television the Olympics. And first race, 1,000 meters. Well, that's how much they're going to race. The cross-country ski, 10 kilometers. Well, that's how much they're going to go. There is a beginning and there is an end. But when God said to Jeremiah, "You know, Jeremiah, that I have loved thee," and he said it to Isaiah also, by the way, in Isaiah 44, "So you know that I have loved thee with an everlasting love, had no beginning and no end." And we, and some of you who are engineers like myself, who think, excuse me, in terms of beginning and end. To an engineer, you never give something to begin and no ending. An engineer think always, here's the beginning and here's the end, and now I have to engineer myself how to get from here to here. That's the job of an engineer. Now, how in the world are we going to understand the measurements that will describe this passionate, remarkable love of God? I looked in the Bible and I found a text that perhaps will have a guideline for us. It is found in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, page 689. If you use right there the Bible that is in the pew. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, all the way to verse 19. The Apostle Paul is talking to the church of Ephesus. And this is the prayer that he had for the church. He started the prayer in verse 14. And look at how he concluded that prayer in verse 17 to 19. That Christ may dwell, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18 now, may be able together with all the saints. So I know that applies to me. All the saints through centuries. To grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of the fullness of Christ. Now that's a prayer. Is a prayer not for apostles? Is a prayer not for pastors and teachers? Is a prayer for all of us? All of us. You see that word? All the saints. And verse 18 said, may be able together with all the saints. It's a prayer for all of us. If you're a child of God, this is a prayer. And the prayer is that you may know how wide is God's love, how long is God's love, how high and how deep is the love of God.
I thought that defined everlasting very well to me. And so I sit down at my desk and said, well, now I have a job to do. I have to find the measurements of these dimensions. I need to know how high is high for God and how deep is deep for God. What kind of measurement will he use? Did he use the British measurement, Great Britain, with feet and all these Fahrenheit's things so complicated? Or he will use the Latin centigrade and meters and things that are more precise. What kind of measurement would God use so that I can know God's love is like this? Well, none of those. But I find some measurements I want to share with you. So I'm going to pick on that verse of Ephesians 3 and 18. I'm going to pick the deeps and the why and the length and show it to you. Let's talk about it's high. When God said, I love you with an everlasting love, and Paul said, I want you to know, believers, I want you to know how high is the love of God. I look into that and came to my mind quickly a law of physics. For civil engineers are more than just constructions. They build highways I was telling Raj today, because the sermon was in my mind, when you build a highway and an intersection and so on, the things that comes to your mind is the water level. And the reason is this: water can lift no higher than its source. Remember that. Water cannot lift itself up more than its source. And so keep that in mind as I show you the source of God's love. Turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, page 716. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. We're going to find when Paul said high, what does he mean high? 1 John 1, 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, say John, that God is light, and in him, wow, is no darkness at all. God is light. Even in this room with so much light, there is a spot who are in darkness compared to others. But the Bible says, think in this, God is light, and that light comes in, and there is no more darkness. Wow. Let me show you another verse to see the source of that love. It's in James chapter 1, verse 17, page 711 in the Pew Bible. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Remember, God is light and there is no darkness. And then in James 1, 17, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation of shadow or turning. You see that? There is no shadow or turning. And so love heights are found in his holiness and his purity. No fake by reality. That's the highest level of God's love. So our love, when we say we love each other, for more than you love with passion your wife or your husband, is always tainted with sin. Take a look to Romans 5 in verse 12 in your Bible. In Romans 5 and verse 12, page 644. And I say this respectfully because I know you love your wife, you love your children, and you love your husband, and you love your family, but our love is stinted. It's stinted. It's imperfect. Romans 5:12 said this, as by one man sin entered into the world, and it's talking about Adam's sin, and death by sin, and that's what people die, is not, oh, they have a disease, and they have pneumonia, and they have this, and they have the other, but I tell you, people die because of sin, and by this sin, and so death pass upon all men. See, you can change the word passive for the word spread. Death is spread to the whole human race, and we are born with that disease called sin, and sin produces death. And so our love, even though it's passionate, even though it's dedicated, is always imperfect. Never will reach perfection. And I say this so that you can get a comparison with God's love. Our love is tainted by sin. And that's a high. The source of my love is myself, and myself as a sinner, so I love you as a sinner. I love you with passion, and I care for you. But please be aware, I'm a sinner. But when God loves, there is no sin. There is no darkness. There is no shadow of turning. Oh, I love you today, but, oh, wow, you sin today, I don't love you anymore. There is no that kind of stuff with God. That's the highest. And I will call them purity. God's love is pure. Pure. There is no shadow the upturning or changing his mind. There is no darkness, blockouts in God's love. He loves me in spite of myself. He loves me in spite of my circumstances. He just loves me, and that's his high. Imagine when Jeremiah heard that. They were at the brink of going into captivity, at the brink of God spanking to his people. And to be sure that Jeremiah knows that God loves him, he said, Jeremiah, I love my people with purity. Nothing that my people can do will stop me from loving them. What a God. What a God. That's his high, purity. Let me talk about its depths now. Let me link together and detach some sentences from God's Word that in their association of these verses that I'm going to put together, we may discern what is meant by the depth of the love of God. And so I'm going to share with you some scriptures, and I want to take time so that you look on it. And when we put all of these together, we will see the depths of God's scripture, of God's love. The first scripture I want to share with you is in Isaiah 57 and verse 15, page 438. Isaiah 57 and verse 15, page 438. And I want to read these scriptures, and as they sound into your mind, keep it there, will you? It's like, you know, most of you know computers, some of you don't, but it's just like having many hard drives. Just keep there fresh. A big RAM, you just keep them afresh, right on the screens. In my home, I have three screens, and I have this program here, and this program here, and this program here, so I can keep fresh what I'm researching. And so here it is, Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus said the High and lofty one that inhabit eternity, whose name is what? Holy. That's the name of God. That's the name of God. Holy. Get that word. Holy. I mean, not like You know, in Roman Catholicism, they ordain saints, and this is just a holy virgin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about reality of holiness. I'm talking about holy, 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 like Isaiah chapter 6 said. Remember? When the angel flew to Isaiah, and he said, holy, holy, holy is the name of the Lord. Holy. I want to compare. Now remember, here's a holy God. What means holy? It means he cannot sin. Wow. I mean, not just one little thing? No. Not just one little opinion? No. You mean God cannot make a little mistake? No. No mistake with my God. Holy. Now I want to share the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 7. That's in page 615. And allow me to read that from the Revised Standard Version. Luke Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 7, page 615. They all murmured, saying that he was going to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Talking about Jesus, the Holy One of Israel. Luke Gospel 19:7. They all murmured, saying, you know, he's going to have a guest, and that guest is a sinner. See, we study in Romans today in the lesson that the Pharisees and the people of Israel, they were religious. They have an outlook form. They don't want to show themselves guilty. In other words, Paul today deal with that fake of a lie. Don't be a fake. Don't say you are a believer if you are not. Don't be a fake. You go to hell if you're a fake. You have to be real. God is about real thing. And then the Pharisees, the doctors of theology, they saw Jesus and they said, look at, he calls himself the Holy One of God. And he's having a guest who's a sinner. Let's go to John Gospel, chapter 13, and verse 3 and verse 5, page 632. John Gospel, chapter 13, verse 3 and verse 5, page 632. This is wonderful. Look at what the scripture says. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, look at how wonderful the scripture described the moment. And that he was come from God, knowing that he was come from God. Jesus never had a doubt about who he was. Isn't that fantastic? Now look at verse 5. After that he put water into a basin, he began to wash the disciples' feet. What? What? I'm talking about how the depths of God's love. Here is the Holy One, no sin. He's receiving a sinner. And now he kneeled down before man and washed the feet of the disciples. All these scriptures are suggestive or what is meant by the love depth of God. I want to compare that with the Pharisees so that you see how depth is the God of love. Let me show you the love of the Pharisees. Turn your Bible to Luke Gospel chapter 18 and verse 11. Page 614. Now, remember what Jesus did. He's the Holy One. And he received a sinner. And he knelt down and he washed the feet of his disciples who were sinners. But now, that's the depth of love. And unless you compare it to something, you cannot see how deep it is. Luke Gospel 18, verse 11. The Pharisees are praying. And look at how the Pharisees pray. God, I thank thee that I am not as these other men are. You see that? Lord, I thank thee that I am not as these other men are. See, that kind of thinking had no height, therefore had no depths. Turn your Bible to Mark chapter 2 and verse 16, page 584. Mark chapter 2 and verse 16. That kind of thinking, God, I'm thank you that I'm better than so and so, that had no height and therefore had no depths. The Bible said in Mark 2:16, and when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they say unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? How is it that the Holy One of Israel shared his life with sinners? See, these guys knew theology, but they didn't know the love of God. And if you know theology and you do not know the love of God, you really do not know God. Human love had no purity. God, I'm better than this guy. Thank you, Lord. Human love had no depth. You know what depth is to me? Compassion. Compassion. If you have no compassion, you have not yet known God. He's all compassion. Deep compassion. How deep? Deep compassion. God's love is deeper than human tragedy. Have you People Magazine? I got the new People Magazine. New People Magazine this week. You can write in the computer, you don't want to buy it, you avoid it, www.peoplemagazine.com, and then /, and I give you the other formula later, so you get to the magazine. It's interesting. The first 20 pages are about the people, ladies with babies, who were born after the tragedy of September 11 last year, and that their husbands died. And in a corner is the picture of the husband, some is an officer, some is a janitor, some is this, some is the other. And here's these babies. And here's these ladies. And I'm half through and reading these stories of these ladies. Now, that's human tragedy. And I wrote already an email to the editor, said, would you allow me, please, to have the address of these people so I can tell them of the deepest love that they can have? God. They maybe have some financial needs. They maybe have some social arrangement to make. But the deepest need is not a sociality, is not sociology or economics. The deepest need is we need to know the love of God so that when a tragedy comes, I become strong. See, God's love is deeper than human tragedy. God's love is deeper than human sorrow. It is deeper than death, said the Bible in 1 Corinthians 15:55. Oh, death, where is that sting? Say, Paul. Wow. Turn your Bible to Deuteronomy, the fifth book of the Bible, 33:27, and that's in page 140 from the very beginning. Deuteronomy 33. And verse 27. God looked to Moses. And this is what God said to Moses. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. People of Israel, he said to Moses, don't worry about the land you are going to. Don't worry about the battles they are ahead. Don't worry about the enemies that occupy the land. Here is the formula. The eternal God is thy refuge. That is the high. And then underneath, deep inside, is his eternal arm that are holding you up. And my brother and my sister, you may be in a crisis. You may be in a tragedy. But the eternal God is your refuge. And under the whole problems are the arms of the everlasting God. What a God we have. What a God we have. I tell you, without that kind of God, I don't know how people existed. You go crazy. No wonder the Navy is after me, for they I don't know who is listening in the Navy, our church, but this is the third time they offer more and more money to go into a ship by Afghanistan and be a counselor to people. I'm going to write a letter this week and send one of our Bibles and all my sermon notes, because I tell you, God is the answer, not Pastor Otero. God is the answer. Number three, we talk about the highest of God, purity. The depths of God is compassion. What about his width? What about width in physics? When you talk about width, width is equal to capacity. The capacity of an ergo to produce the speed of so many centimeters per square foot, for so many pounds, for so many kilograms per hour. Capacity. You measure in different capacity. That's width. How wide is the love of God? Turn your Bible to Psalm 103 and verse 12. And many of you may have that mark already in your Bible. Page 374, if you are looking in the Bible that is in the pew. The love of God is wide as eternity itself. But how wide it is? Here it is. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. If you're a pilot, you know. If you fly west, you never find east. If you fly north, you find south. But if you fly east, you never find west. If you fly west, you never find east. And so it is a joy to see, and sometimes they let you, when a satellite goes out, to tap into your computer. And my wife said, what are you doing? It's in the night, and I'm trying to see the coordinates, how they fly, and they're always on the west or on the east, so that they cannot come back to earth. It's just beautiful. And God said, listen, this is what I do. As the east is from the west, so far I have removed your iniquities. When you go to God and say, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. God, I'm turned to you. He said, let me get your sins, and boom, gone. Whew. You don't have to bring any gift in order to be forgiven. You don't have to do any ceremonial thing in order to be saved. You don't have to walk forward every Sunday to ask for forgiveness. You don't have to get baptized in order that God receive you into his heaven. He already took your sins away. You maybe remember there, but no God. Are you sure, Pastor? What if I sin tomorrow? What if Anthony said to Mama tomorrow, Mama said, put the plates on the table, Anthony. That's what my mother would say to me when I was young. And Anthony said, I'm busy, Mommy, sorry. Apart from his spanking, he has sinned. Is that right? Sin. A little sin. Innocent sin, we call it. The Bible called disobedience. That's serious. Can God forgive something like that? Oh, listen. Some people come to me and say, Pastor, I need help. I know you study, you're a clinical psychologist, and we need help about my children and this and the other. And what's your problem? He said, they are worse every day. I said, that's no problem. No problem. No, you had to see when I was young. That was worse every day of my life. And how your mama solved the problem? Mama don't not solve it. God did it. Romans 5, verse 20. Go to Romans 5, verse 20, page 664. And look what God did for me and has done for every one of you who know the Lord Jesus. However, the law enter, that offense may abound. The law of God is a mirror to say how wrong we are. Verse 20 in Romans 5. But where sin abounded, past tense, or where sin increased, that's a good translation if you have that in your Bible, where sin increased, every day is worse, What God's going to do? Grace did much abound. My brother, if you're a rebellious child of God, you are not losing your stature of being a man of God. You're going to get some spanking, but God has provided even for our disobedience, and where we become disobedient, and when we become entangled even in things that we don't know, God has put His grace so much, so why the sin cannot touch us. Wow! No wonder. I keep in my mind, I'm in a new program in the gym on bike. I want to beat all of these 40 years old guys around me. And I'm right on. Next week, I got them. I tell you, the key is energy. And as I'm pedaling and going up the hill and down the hill, people look to me and say, oh, you lost pounds, you're happy. No, sir, no. I'm going to type this week in front of my bike, this, Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There's no vitamin C or E or F or whatever. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm a happy guy. I walk in the gym and I say, hi, everybody. Kiss everybody. My wife watch it because I don't want to kiss certain ladies, but I kiss everybody. Hug everybody. And everybody knew I'm there. He's happy. Some people figure out he might have money. He retired, have money. People figure out things of this world. What he has, they have, is so happy. And I told them, one day I'm going to tell you, next week I'm going to put a sign, Nehemiah 8:10. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That's the capacity of God. God has the capacity to love me, to love Bob Whitmire, to love anyone in a sinful condition, and outpour His grace and change my condition. Now, that doesn't change me altogether because I live in sin. I have a nature that is sinful and always battle with a nature that is holy. That's true. But the greatness of all is that God's love is so wide. They have provided even for that. Finally, how long the length of God's love? John 15, verse 13, page 634. How long is the love of God? Greater love hath no man than this. John 15:13. That a man lay down his life for his friend. Greater love hath no man than this. That a man lay down his life for his friend. And you know who did it? Jesus. Jesus laid down his life on the cross for you. And he called you His friends, when you and I were enemies of God. That boggles my mind. I tell psychologists sometimes when I meet with them and I say, now trying to figure out this out. Jesus called you a friend and loved you when you were a sinner. There is no psychologist that can figure out this. Move your Bible to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8, page 600, and I think it's 92 or 12, something like that. Philippians 2:8, and being found, talking about Jesus, in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself. I'm talking about how long the Lord will go with you. Luke chapter 15 and verse 4, please, page 612. Luke 15 and verse 4. What man of you, said Jesus, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? How long is the love of God? God's love is long as the longest road. God's love is long as the longest night of your life. God's love is long as the longest life. God's love is long as eternity. Is not that marvelous? Well, Pastor, wrap it up. Yes, I will, Fire. What all of this means to me? I'm here in human flesh. What is the message of the boundless love of God? It's found in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. That is a text that will wrap up the entire sermon in one nutshell. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul said, love never fail. That's why God never failed. Love never failed. That's what God never failed. When God said, I'm going to love Gabriel Lotero, he loved me and he never failed because God put his love on me so that I can be saturated, inundated, and overwhelmed by his love and turn myself in because I already was wrapped up in his love. I had nothing to do with my salvation. God loved me and wrapped me up and I fall into his hand. Thank God that he found me. But I want to say one step more than Calvin. That's what Calvin said. Thank God that he found me. I want to say something more and more deep. Thank God that he loved me. And in spite of myself, and in spite of my difficulties and problems with my own nature, thank God that he loved me. Thank God that he loved you. May God be glorified through our life. Because of his love. Father, thank you and thank you and thank you again that you love us with passion. Thank you again that you outpour your love in such a way that now we are the children of God. Help us to understand that love never fails and help us to experience all of this in our life. Help us to restructure our thinking. Help us to move our ways of life in such a way that we focus on God and not on ourselves. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
His love reached from the heavens to the far ends of the earth to give you life forever. He left no stone unturned, and before the birth of time, Jesus had you on his mind. So you never need to question his concern. So what can separate you from the precious love of God? Who could ever come against his strong and perfect love? So when you're in the valley and your nights are cold and lonely, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Remember, nothing can separate you from God's love. He numbers each and every star and calls them all by name. He counts them one by one to see that they are still in place. If he cares for every star, then he sees right where you are. You can trust you'll never fall from his embrace. So what can separate you from the precious love of God? Who could ever come against his strong and perfect love? So when you're in the valley and your nights are cold and lonely, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Remember, nothing can separate you neither pain nor sorrow, not today or not tomorrow, nothing past or nothing present, nothing future, nothing ever. Remember, who can separate you from the precious love of God? Remember, nothing could ever come against His strong and perfect love. So when you're in the valley and your nights are cold and lonely, the darkest hour is just before the dawn. Remember, nothing, absolutely nothing, separate you from God's
Father, we can say openly we love you because you love us first. Now help us to put in practice this awesome love of God that is in our heart. Each one of us has a personal need. And Father, help us to cure that need with the purity and the compassion of your love. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.